Chapter 13. Dr. Tydell was in the staff break room when we got back from eating. He sat at a table sipping a cup of coffee, which somehow seemed strange and improper, like a dog sitting at a table and holding a paw full of playing cards. If Tydell was going to be a miraculous savior, how could he do ordinary human things, too? And when he looked up as we came in, his eyes were human, tired, not at all brimming with the spark of divine inspiration, and his first words did not fill me with awe, either. "It's too soon to be certain," he said to Chutsky, and I was grateful for the slight variation in the standard medical mantra. "We're not at the real crisis point yet, and that could change everything." He slurped from his coffee cup. "She's young, strong. The doctors here are very good. You're in good hands, but a lot can still go wrong." "Is there anything you can do?" Chutsky asked, sounding very uncertain and humble, like he was asking God for a new bicycle. "You mean a magic operation or a fantastic new procedure?" Tydell said. He sipped his coffee. "No, not a thing. You just have to wait." He glanced at his watch and stood up. "I have a plane to catch." Chutsky lurched forward and shook Tydell's hand. "Thank you, Doctor. I really appreciate this. Thanks." Tydell pried his hand away from Chutsky's. "You're welcome," he said, and headed for the door. Chutsky and I watched him go. "I feel a lot better," Chutsky said. "Just having him here was major." He glanced at me as if I had said something scornful and said, "Seriously, she's going to be okay." I wished that I felt as confident as Chutsky. I did not know that Deborah was going to be okay. I really wanted to believe it, but I'm not as good at kidding myself as most humans are, and I have always found that if things have a choice of directions, they are most likely to go downhill. Still, it wasn't the sort of thing I could say in the ICU without causing a certain amount of negative feeling to be directed toward me, so I mumbled something appropriate, and we went back to sit at Deborah's bedside. Wilkins was still at the door, and there had been no change in Deborah that I could see, and no matter how long we sat or how hard we looked at her, nothing happened, except for the hum, click, ping of the machinery. Chutsky stared at her as if he could make her sit up and speak by the power of his gaze. It didn't work. After a time, he switched his stare to me. "The guy who did this," he said. "They got him, right?" "He's locked up," I said, "at the detention center." Chutsky nodded and looked like he was going to say something else. He looked toward the window, sighed, and then went back to staring at Deborah. Dexter is known far and wide for the depth and sharpness of his intellect, but it was nearly midnight before it occurred to me that there was no point in sitting and staring at Deborah's unmoving form. She had not leapt to her feet from the Uri Geller intensity of Chutsky's gaze, and if the doctors were to be believed, she was not going to do anything at all for some time. In which case, instead of sitting here and slowly sagging into the floor and morphing into a hunched, red-eyed lump, it made more sense for Dexter to totter off to bed for a few squalid hours of slumber. Chutsky offered no objection. He just waved his hand and muttered something about holding down the fort, and I staggered out of the ICU and into the warm and wet Miami night. It was a pleasant change after the mechanical chill of the hospital, and I paused to breathe in the flavor of vegetation and exhaust fumes. There was a large chunk of evil yellow moon floating in the sky and chuckling to itself, but I didn't really feel its pull. I could not concentrate at all on the joyous, matching gleam a knife blade would give off, or the wild nighttime dance of shadowy delight I should be longing for. Not with Deborah lying unmoving inside. Not that it would be wrong. I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel anything at all, except tired, dull, and empty. Well, I couldn't cure the dull and empty, and I couldn't cure Deborah, but at least I could do something about the tired part. I went home.